condition, my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
Found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Law and Order Extension, yeah, except I'm out. It's Matt Weber, Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P Futures up 33, and Dow Futures up 275, NASDAQ Futures up 135. This is after Trump and Z agreed to somewhat of a truce, but we're sort of in the ring with these... One man's opinion. Do we have Steph?
Good morning.
Hey, Steph, how are you? We have Stephanie Koenig as well. Back where she ought to be on Monday morning, bright and early. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
How about yourself?
I'm good. Were you over at in North Korea for the historic stepping across the line?
Fortunately, no.
You don't think you could have
gotten... I was not a part of that big, huge event.
You maybe couldn't have gotten the right... hotel room for you with the hair dryer and everything in Panmunjom or wherever it is?
For some reason, I wasn't invited on Air Force One. I don't know why.
Well, this is bull, I say. What do you make of, I guess it's always good that things don't get worse, but you never really know what the market is, anticipating. I don't know that a truce at these levels is all that positive, do you? I mean, I don't know.
Well, I don't know that a truce is likely, let's put it that way.
Well, that's even worse.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that, you know, they're talking. Talking usually is good. However, we are giving the North Koreans a stage and a world stage that they have never been able to participate in before without any repercussions. They haven't had to give up or do anything to be part of this, to get this kind of treatment. So I think Jim, I can never pronounce his name right, but I think he is playing Trump perfectly, and like when it comes down to the end, there'll probably be no change, and it will be an interesting exercise. We will at least probably know a lot more about North Korea than we did before. So,
well, there was a gentleman I watched Meet the Press, and I listened to Face the Nation driving along in the traffic yesterday, which was incredible, probably mostly because of the, well, it's always bad, but the gay pride parade made it a little worse. But even the Stevenson was backed up coming from Orland at like 11 in the morning. I don't know what that's all about, but anyway, they had a guy on there talking about the positive and the negative of the, we'll talk about the Korean thing first, since that's what Steph has zeroed in on here. And because the positives are whenever you're talking, you know, positive stuff can happen. So when you're not, you know, in that regard, it's probably somewhat of a relations coup to have an unannounced stop and restart things and so forth. He said, but the other side of the story is that you have allies, and allies don't know what the hell you're doing. I mean, yep. I mean, the guy hasn't stopped anything. Matter of fact, didn't he execute the three guys? Well, I don't know if it was ever confirmed. The rumor was he executed the three guys that scheduled the last meeting that was a bust or something. I mean, I don't know that anything's changed much other than the guy now is on this world stage as a real leader, and yet does anybody really want him there? I mean, he is in charge. I get that part. But I don't know that we ever really did all that well negotiating with, you know, the Gaddafis of the world and these kinds of guys. I mean, I don't know, what do you... I don't know. What are we trying to accomplish? Are we still looking for regime change, or do we think that 20 years from now the country is going to be fine with him in charge? I mean, what is the long range? I have no idea. Do you?
Well, I mean, I know that the Trump organization doesn't probably have a plan on really what they're trying to long-term achieve. Because they haven't had a plan for anyone. I don't think it's specifically specific for North Korea, but it's interesting because I agree with you completely. There doesn't seem to be any tactics for this, and if you look at history in the past, there's a reason why they haven't had conversations with these kind of strong arm leaders without getting something first in return.
Yeah, I would sort of agree. Does anybody even know the state of his? I mean, how do you tell with the news media today? Plus, nobody's got eyes on the ground in North Korea, I don't think. But I mean,
apparently we lost our biggest spy there too when he killed his brother. So you know,
yeah. Well, I mean the allegations were that the places they were doing a lot of the nuclear testing was the place was so screwed up that they pretty much wanted to give it up anyway. I mean, these are all details that you know we probably have somewhere buried in Washington, but that's not something you and I know. But
no. And I doubt Trump has read any of the briefings. So, you know.
Shot fired there.
Based on Tillerson's comments.
Yeah, I thought those two guys would actually work pretty well together, but maybe it was just such a difference in intellect that they never quite made it in this. I mean,
Tillerson is competent. You know, I mean, on the world stage, he's competent. You know,
plus, he's also an engineer. He probably takes notes on every meeting.
Huh?
I bet he takes copious notes at every meeting as an engineer. You ever see an engineer not to have their book with them? You know,
yep.
all the guys at Pullman, all the manufacturing engineers and engineers, they'd come in with their book, and they would write down if there was assignment for them, do certain, everything was written down. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? And 2 months later, they'd come in with the meeting, and they'd come in with their stuff. They'd never forget anything.
Yeah.
It's a whole different mindset than a
they're
bunch.
They're structured. Yeah. They're organized. They have, they take it very seriously. They're sort of like accountants in that respect.
Not like me doing a show with no notes. Of course, there's a regulatory reason for that. But
I think you're more organized than some of the other folks we're discussing.
What are we thinking about China, and what about the market? I'm nervously thinking we might be getting near a top here. Because it is interesting the stuff that David Stockman's grown all over the world and talk about. But we've had a lot of people on the show. I mean, Carl Denninger is, and I certainly go through some of these numbers, and the debt numbers just keep piling up every place. And we were reading, and I'm not a big fan of where everybody's named Tyler Durbin that writes an article. Tells the name of the thing.
Oh,
I don't know. I always
get numbers. Yeah,
but a dude wrote an article and had to do with all the numbers that are turning down in the last few months, and a lot of them are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the labor numbers are certainly no better, but they're talking about the Empire State manufacturing and this and that, and his theme was, and not that you should like articles that sort of agree with you, it doesn't get you any more stuff, but it basically said that 40% of the economy is already in a recession, maybe 50, and then you and I have talked at times where I'm not so sure 40-50% ever came out of the last recession, and the more
I would be surprised if 40% came out of the last recession. I think they're sort of existing.
Yeah, I mean, we've got asset prices up, and because the people who own assets, I think, control the news to a certain extent, they keep telling everybody else they're okay. If somebody tells you you're okay long enough, do you believe it, even though maybe it's not so hot? I don't know. But anyway, I this whole thing where now if there's no end game on this China thing, the tariffs are just going to stay where they are. I mean, it appears that they're hurting a lot of companies. It appears they're causing prices to run up, although we still manage to keep it out of the CPI. I don't know how we do, but we do. The status quo is almost like a war, a tariff war. I mean, I don't know if the status quo for, let's say the guy wins again for 5.5 years or 6.5 years is good. Do you?
No, I think it's terrible for our economy. I think it's terrible for the world, world trade in general. And I agree with you. It seems to be that all of the impact on these are hitting people that are not being recognized in the general population in terms of, so I mean the farmers are definitely being hit. That doesn't seem to be recognized in the CPI by any means. And then manufacturers and of a lot of different goods, including cars and TVs and pretty much everything, because we get parts from China for most everything these days.
What'd you think of the we can sell stuff to Huawei?
I thought that was a Trump concession. I mean, if I'm looking at it from a security perspective, I think actually he might be right on this. I'm not 100% up on all the details of exactly what's going on in that argument, but the Chinese, the Vietnamese, a whole bunch of other different, sorry, not Vietnamese, the Chinese and a whole bunch of other groups have been inserting ways, backdoors into their technology for years for us to be able to get into our companies and steal information.
Steph, did you,
didn't they just
without revealing
one that IBM had?
Yeah, without revealing your, shall we say, varied background, I'll just briefly say that Steph has worked on the trading floor, she's worked in private industry, she's worked in consulting. Without naming any names, with all the places you've worked, is there a specific spot where somebody said, oh my God, we got this problem and it's coming from X place?
Well, it happens in every company.
Okay.
You know, every company gets hacked one way or another. It's inevitable. And part of the problem that we have in this country is that the moment some company mentions they're hacked, it becomes public news and everyone looks down on them. What we really need to do is be a lot more open and transparent across our companies, because they need to jointly tackle a lot of these firms or outside enemies, I guess we should call them, that are hacking our companies and stealing things. You know, they're stealing intellectual properties, they're stealing client books, they're stealing our own personal information, they're stealing just who are the members of the companies, and they're using all that information then to do political and personal espionage. So it's a big problem.
Jeff, I don't know if we want to go down this road, and maybe we shouldn't, but I will ask you the question, because I know that you, well, first of all, I trust you have a good opinion. You and I know, because we've talked over coffee and adult beverages a few times, there's this hacking problem, and clearly in the banking and security industry, a lot of it is for information and for money. And you can't find a firm or a bank that has not had an issue or two. That's something that these people are that good. And everybody I talk to, and a lot of people even don't want to talk about it, but as you know, a lot of people like to talk to me. Don't know why, maybe because they know I'll keep the names a secret and something, but every single time that I've come across the people, the firms hacked, and you know, trust me, I mean, people and the listeners probably know that in 30-some years, I know a lot of people in the securities industry. There hasn't been a firm that hasn't been hacked that I know of. The money gotten out of, you know, somebody impersonating the account holder or something and something. Now, everybody's procedures are so beefed up, it's a lot harder to do than it was 10 years ago. But, you know, it used to be a business where you did business on a handshake and word. Now people can say, well, you guys never should have been like that. Well, come on. The world was like that. I mean, there's banks that have people that have gone in with bad signatures. Ask anybody in real estate, and Audrey will be on later, ask anybody in real estate if they know of one or two or three or four or ten wire transfers that have gotten hijacked between the bank and the closing. Money never found.
Just ask the IRS who's been hacked however many times and giving out other people's money to people offshore.
But I'm saying my sense is, and I didn't start out on Monday morning to lay a bomb on law enforcement. In every single case, Steph, the people who got hacked, bank, security firms or whatever, someone ended up coming up with the money to people, and they got zero help from law enforcement. It's your problem. It's your insurance. Don't you have insurance? Why aren't your procedures good enough to keep this? It's akin to you're watching Maddie Weber's a classic car for the weekend, and somebody takes off with it, and the policemen show up and handcuff you because you didn't. The procedure said you should have double lock on the garage door, and you only had one. It's very
simple. Yeah, the reason that happens is because Congress and our judicial system. The judicial system lasts because they don't create law, but the Congress has not created laws that enable cops to enforce it. And 90% of hacking is offshore, which then means you have to involve the FBI in order to do any sort of prosecution of the culprits. So I mean, it's a lot more complex. But really, what we need Congress to do is A, become educated on the subject, because majority of them are not. B, take it seriously. I mean, they didn't even take the Russian hacking of our election process seriously.
Yep.
So why do we think that they're going to create any laws that allow law enforcement and or companies to do or get any recourse when they are hacked?
Well, you brought it to a different level. I was going to say that in my mind, I mean, I know everybody's a hero who wears a badge, right? I don't know about that, but a lot of people are, but a lot of people aren't. I think we really have allowed the bureaucracy, let me put it this way, Mustafa. Everybody, everywhere I go, people sit down and BS with me. I have never, maybe I just know more now, or people tell me more. I have never seen a situation in this country where the bureaucracy was is lazy and inefficient as they are now. At every walk of life. Every walk of life. I mean, I guarantee you, if your car gets broken into last night, I hope it doesn't, and you walk out and you call the police, they give you an accident number. They have no more intention of coming out and looking at that in the man in the moon. And I think it's the same attitude to this other stuff. That's the bank's problem. That's the securities firm's problem. Why? It's a fucking crime, for God's sake.
In Chicago, we have this big problem where the cops have been told that, murders and drug deals and that sort of stuff is the priority, and that someone breaking into your garage or your car is not. Or stealing your wallet. And, the problem is the people who steal the wallets are the ones who eventually are the ones that are going to shoot somebody.
Right.
So
I agree.
And I've witnessed it myself here, and I know a bunch of other people who have, where you're right, the cops don't do anything about petty crime. And that's a big problem. If you look back at New York and how they solved a lot of their crime problems in the early 90s, one of it was by addressing petty crime. So, I think they're going about it the wrong way, but that's my opinion.
Well,
and I'm not a police expert by any means.
Well, but it comes down to you when in your consulting work, and I'll admit that you are, part of your job, a real part of your job, is in directing. Everybody's got, I used to say 8 hours in a day, but now whatever else they do. But what people have a... They have there are things that have to do with what how you spend your day. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So
correct.
When you have, for instance, as you say, it's FBI's job. By the way, I happen to know by personal experience that who's taking over that? It's the Secret Service's job, out of all places.
Really,
which is interesting. They've taken the lead on a lot of this. But where they go with it, they don't go anywhere. But what I'm saying is, if when you are, who was the guy who was here when they put Blagojevich in jail? This is always my.
You mean my district attorney?
Yeah, it was Peter Fitzgerald, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a U.S. attorney. It wasn't a district. The U.S. attorney.
You're right. It was the U.S. attorney. Yeah.
I'm going to say I've heard rumors. Whispers in the wind, murmurs in the mist, as they say, that some incredible percentage of the time of people in that office were dedicated to that case over a 5-6 year period of time. Now, whether or not, Blagojevich deserved time in jail, more time in jail, we could argue over that, night after night over wines and beers with 50 other people. But I don't see how anybody, given the rise of all this other stuff, online crime, people stealing stuff out of banks. If anybody would have thought that was the proper disposition of resources. I can't imagine anybody
understanding that part of the reason that got that much attention is because they thought he was selling seats. Right?
Okay. Well, he essentially said, to paraphrase, he never got a dime. he essentially said, by the way, there's a Senate seat. What are you going to do for me? This is not the first time a politician has said that. Doesn't make
oh,
it right.
I know. And Blagojevich was well known within the community for asking for those kinds of things for everything. So,
right.
I mean, whether it's right or it's wrong, my point only is that that becomes more of a federal issue when you start talking about elections. And if we're talking about election stuff, then I understand why they got involved, because we're back in that situation again with, you know, the Russians and Trump and all that other stuff. But to your point about whether or not we should have had 15 people with Blagojevich, who was kind of really a low-level player, or should have been looking at, you know, larger issues that affect our country, our nation, and our nation's security as a whole, I mean, I agree with your perspective.
Well, I would much rather have one guy caught stealing some poor family's money coming from a bank to a closing than Blagojevich be in jail.
So one of the problems is, like, let's just say, you know, there's a whole ring of Nigerian, and I just say that because I know that there is, but I don't know enough specifically to call anyone anything, but a ring of Nigerians who are calling people pretending that they're the Chicago police and,
right.
you know, getting money. The question becomes is, how do you track them down? Because, A, they can pick up and move. As long as they've got the internet, they can go anywhere. Again, back to my point, there's not law to prosecute them in a lot of places, in a lot of ways, and I think that's slowly changing. But until you get laws, there's not much
I think there are laws, Steph. And what I'm saying is, when you get to be, I mean, I guess I'm the fact of me being a son of an Irish cop is coming out of this a little bit. When you talk to four or five people, I know a couple of people that just have a regular firm. One guy has a human resource firm. And they hacked into his system, somebody, and say you were my CFO. They hacked into your system with an email from me saying to wire $50,000 to Matt Weber.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not just banks and whatever. But the point is, Steph, when this happens, people will tell me, well, the FBI won't go after anything under $100,000.
Yep.
Every single time it's under $100,000.
I mean, but let's be clear, let's get the same problem with credit card fraud.
Yeah.
No.
What I'm saying is, if you come down, you only have so many people. All right, so the point is, if you have your people tracking these down, there's no feather in your cap. If you put a governor in jail, you're destined to be governor if you want to be, or a senator, correct? Look what happened to Jim Thompson.
History would say so, yes.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, who manages these people? Who's the adult in the room as we look at our... I mean, we had these two Democratic debates, and every person, like to a person, is basically saying government is not working for people, and they have some kind of half-assed... It's half-assed because it's a two-minute thing or one-minute thing. Solution to, let's get government of 350 million people working again, and here's how we do it in a minute or less. Well, of course, no matter what it is, that's going to turn out to be a buffoonish situation. And then it comes out the person who yells the loudest, you know, wins, like Kamala Harris. I mean, mm-hmm. She yelled the loudest, so she wins. Okay, well, that's fine. I don't know what she exactly won, but she won something, according to everybody, because she managed to yell louder than anybody else. But, I mean, anyway, we'll have to do this after the break, Steph. S&P futures up 31, Dow futures up 252, NASDAQ futures up 130, been there pretty much all morning, up 28 last night. So we've been, like I said, right stuck here. Oil up 137, 1596, almost back at 60. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Well, I want to thank Stocks and Jocks. I'm Ronchi, Stephanie Koenig, is Matt Weber, and Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. S&P futures up 3250, where they've pretty much been since we got here. As if he was up 134, big rally based on, based on nothing bad happening this weekend. We have not a solution to the China situation, but we have a tariff truce, at least for a little while. Who knows how long that'll be, but no new tariffs this week, so I guess no less tariffs though either. So depending on which way you look, Dow futures up 252. Rally's pretty much worldwide though. DAX up 145, that's 1.1%. FTSE up 94, 1.2. CAC around up 41.7. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 454, up 2%. We've got the Shanghai up 66, up another 2%. So we got 2% across the board there. Oil also running up. Oil up $1.47, $59.94. Brent up 165, $66.39. So oil having a huge rally on the day that the gas taxes in Chicago and Illinois double. Isn't that swell? RBOB up to 193. Gold, however, taking a hit. down $19, $13.94, because all is right with the world. We don't need any gold. Dense safe haven demand for gold is trade truce. I don't see how you have a truce in the middle of an all-out war saying you're not going to go the war any further, how that's exactly a truce, but I'm not writing the news. They are. Matty, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. A light traffic week historically because a lot of people are on vacation this week with the 4th of July holiday. And then folks that are not on vacation will typically do their travels on Wednesday. So Monday and Tuesday we're expecting light traffic, which is good. We do have a stall reported in the right lane of the Kennedy Express lanes on the inbound side at Armitage. That's causing a bit of a delay, but no major backup from that. Eisenhower, Stevenson looking good. Southside expressways are all quiet. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine and warm, humid temperatures. We'll reach a high of 87. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 70 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 101 today. Right now it's clear and 86. In sports, the White Sox are playing good ball. They took 2 of 3 from Minnesota, winning yesterday at home 4-3. The Cubs had their first losing month in over 2 years, finishing the month of June at 14-15 after dropping 2 of 3 in Cincinnati. They lost 8-6, fell behind 4-0, made it 4-3, then it extended to 8-3, and then Jason Hayward hit a late 3-run homer to make it interesting, but Cubs lose again to the Reds. They're now 3-6 against the Reds in 2019. Diamondbacks blew out the Giants 10-4. So as we take our Monday morning look at the Major League Baseball standings, the White Sox, as I mentioned, are playing better ball. They're up to third place in the AL Central, 39-42. But 13 games back of first place Minnesota. They're also 5 games back of second place Cleveland. The Cubs are in first place, but they're tied now with Milwaukee for first place at 45-39, 3 games up on St. Louis. Cubs have are 4-6 in their last 10, not playing great, as I mentioned already in the month of June. And lastly, the Diamondbacks, who lost big yesterday, actually, are 43-43, right at 500. They're 4th place in the NL West, behind the Padres, Rockies, and then the Dodgers, who are running away with it. They're 14 games behind the LA Dodgers. NBA free agency underway yesterday. The Bulls made a minor splash. They signed veteran forward Thaddeus Young to a 3-year, $41 million deal. But some of the big names around the league, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both going to Brooklyn. So that'll be the big new super team, although Durant will likely miss all of the next season. Kemba Walker signs with Boston to replace Kyrie Irving, who left. D'Angelo Russell leaves Brooklyn and goes to Golden State, and so he'll be the third guy now with Durant out. And Jimmy Butler leaves Philadelphia and goes to Miami. So those are some of the headliners in NBA free agency. Lastly, NHL Blackhawks acquire Andrew Shaw, who was a former Blackhawk, from Montreal. They also receive a 7th-round pick in exchange for a 2nd, 3rd, and a 7th. Chief.
2nd, 3rd, and a 7th. Next year?
I think there's a few years.
Okay. So Montreal did not like the Shaw experiment at all, it doesn't appear.
And I think he made some pretty decent dough, so I think it might have been a salary cap thing for them as well.
So now the Hawks are back to where they can accept money, you guys coming in?
Apparently so.
Unbelievable, huh?
Well, he only has 2 years left on his deal, so that's probably part of it.
I think the Hawks are right on the edge of their season ticket list, what I hear.
As just far as people are not renewing?
If a few people don't renew, there's not a whole lot of names to call.
Oh, that's probably true. I never believe the whole super long waiting list.
Oh, from the Cubs? No. Such
well, from
BS.
Anyone. The Packers, the Cubs, the Red Sox.
Packers I might believe. We're talking about Wisconsin.
I think it's horse bleep. I think if I wanted to buy season tickets, I can get season tickets.
We're talking about cheeseheads.
If you got dough, they'll work with you. Isn't that what you say?
Yeah, if you got dough, they'll work. That was a line of coach. anyway, had to do with... never mind. It's a family show. What can I say? But
what does Audrey say? I don't really like short men, but they're pretty tall when they sit on their wallet.
Yes, something they get a lot taller when they sit on a big wallet. I don't know if you. What do you think of that stuff?
I like the way Audrey puts it.
Yes, they get a lot taller. Anyway, we're going to get our dose of Audrey at 7 o'clock. So what's with the two female guests this morning? What do you think about that, Steph?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, you know.
Going right after Pride weekend, too.
Yeah. How hard did it rain on those people? This is it's not just me that raining on every sporting event. I'm glad they're spreading it across everybody.
Well, at least the rain doesn't discriminate. We got that out.
Yes, we got that figured out. What did you think of the debates?
You know, I actually didn't get the chance to watch them. So I've read quite a bit about them, but I have not watched them. That's one of the things I'm planning on doing this week, is trying to catch up and at least see.
Well,
some
maybe, you know what
highlights.
You should do, Steph, since you live close? You should think about joining the female group that has taken over the Tripoli for whenever they feel like it. Talk about encroaching.
Are they accepting members under a year? Because Claire would have to come too.
I would say that Claire is welcome anywhere.
Okay.
You know how your union works, the female union, no matter what age you are. Tell you one of the funniest things I ever saw was we used to go to, before Dr. J got married, it was a long, long time ago. We used to, his wife, who now is a judge, been a judge for a long time, well, she was in, she worked for one of these big law firms. And of course, she wasn't even his wife at some point, but then she became his wife. But the weird part, Janet and I would go work out, and she would always be working, you know this, till like 8 o'clock at night. So we'd go have dinner somewhere, and we had our rounds. And when we were doing Chinese, we'd always go to, I think it was Wan Kao, the one where you got to walk upstairs on like maybe 22nd and a half. And the people loved us there. We were there all the time. So one night there's this table. It must have been how many generations of Chinese ladies next to us. They had a couple of, one was about as old as Claire, one maybe was, a couple of years. And the oldest one had to be 95, at least. And they're all sitting at this huge table. Everybody's talking. The amount of food plopping in the middle, in the middle where you can spin the middle. I thought it was absolute right. They had the best time. I don't know how anybody could listen, though. Everybody was talking. It was like the two little ones, they were fine. Everybody was happy. It's like, what? You can't beat fun.
Remember, women can multitask. So, you don't only need to be in one conversation at a time.
Yeah, but here's the problem that your reunion has created in the bar. Okay? Nobody cares who comes in, but they grab three or four tables, and they must let Nick know in advance they're coming, because they did this for The Bachelor, a little bit for The Bachelorette, but they're not as interested in The Bachelorette. I can understand that. But they did this for the debates the other night. But now, if guys come in and say, we want to watch, are we watching the Boston game, because the Boston bar, this is going to get me in trouble with the female union, but that's okay. When you say, are we going to have the Boston sound on, okay, it's at a level at which you can come in and still hold a conversation. But now, the ladies, on the other hand, seem to think that the volume should be loud enough that even though they all have totally separate conversations going, they can still hear the show. And let's just say there are two different levels.
I can't speak for that, but I can speak for the table arranging. I think it's like the male-female issue about asking for directions. My guess is there are very few men who come in tell them that they need a bunch of tables for this kind of event.
Right.
Versus,
The ladies are not shy. So anyway, to say to the debate the other night, because we came in drowned rats after softball, and Maddie was with me, and I don't know if he's on the mic over there, but it was about as loud as I've ever heard anything. And I look over, and there's 20 ladies, they're all talking, but they could still hear. And I mean, it was really loud, because there's like six TVs in the place. Oh. They all had it on, right? And usually you get one TV with the sound. But anyway, what's with the lady who's the writer? What is her? I heard she's got a big contribution from a Republican guy to try and keep her in the race because it's a joke or something. The New York
keep her in a race to keep stirring things up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm looking for some stuff. When I say stuff, I'm looking for some stuff, Steph. And I can't, I don't find it out of anybody. I don't, as I watch whatever it is, governor, this goofy governor is doing. Let's tax this, let's tax that. This person has all these rights, this person has all these rights. We all know we have rights in this country, whatever. But I mean, is anybody ever going to say, we got Bernie wanting to tax this guy to do this, somebody else going to tax this guy to do that? Can anybody have the common sense to say, we're taking enough from people right now? Or if we decide we want to do more for student loans, that's an everybody problem. It's not just a Wall Street problem. It's not picking on the people we don't like. And this is so un-American to me, Steph. I can't even, I'm fuming about it, and you know, and the same way with the Republicans, we're gonna give tax, we're gonna tell everybody else they got a tax decrease, but really we're only gonna give it to our guys. it's the same thing with a different title on it. But why don't people get the fact that the reason why the student loans are a problem is the schools are too friggin' expensive? Why don't people get the fact you can move the mice around on the table all you want in this healthcare situation? The fact is, it's 20% of the economy, and it should be 12. And an MRI, instead of costing $6,000, should cost $700. That's the problem.
Yeah, and the insurance companies are making a ton of money.
And the overhead,
they should be non-for-profits,
But I'm saying, and the people in the middle are making a fortune in the overhead. So there's the problem. It's not about who's paying for it, because no matter who it is, he's overcharged. I mean, why is it you and I watch this, and we can't be the only two people that know this?
No, you know, I had a fabulous argument, or discussion, I should say.
Discussion, yeah.
On the plane coming back from Washington, D.C. On Friday night with a lovely lady who was very in tune. She's an ex financial services person and now runs a security firm and is very politically connected. Anyway, we had a lovely conversation about the fact that
did this come to blows, Democrat, this conversation? Did you have to start slapping her, or the other way around?
Yeah, no. But we had a wonderful discussion about the fact that, you know, you've got Bernie, who's driving everyone way too far to the left. I mean, majority of, at least in our conversation, the majority between the two of us, we are both pretty middle of the road. We're looking for somebody who's got some moderate views. You know, we're socially moderate and financially conservative, and everyone's being driven so far left, and those that aren't being driven so far left keep talking about, exactly to your point, things like Medicaid for all. Well, you know what? The country, if you take a poll, we don't want Medicaid for all. We're really looking for our healthcare system to be fixed, and we don't want full socialism, but yes, let's be clear, we do want socialist programs like Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, because those are all socialist programs. Let's call a spade a spade. So, I mean, I don't understand what Democratic whole group of them is going for, because I think that I'm pretty middle of the road, and I understand both sides, and I'm sure if we're trying to appeal to people who would have voted for Trump, they're going to be more middle of the road, and they don't seem to be working towards those individuals, which is what we need to win.
Let me tell you, let me give you the question that I absolutely have to fire at you, Steph, because what you said was very interesting and I think very true. But let me ask you this, and you're a lot younger than me, but in my lifetime, up until, I'm going to say 10 years ago, maybe 15, the whole trick in politics, money-wise, was to go all the way to the, if you're a Republican, you go as far right as you can get your checks, and come back in the middle. Same way with Clinton. You're the Democrats. You go left, you get the money, and you come back. But the vote horde was in the middle. And on a scale of 1 to 10, the person who won, who could, if it was a normal distribution curve, would be, if you're Democrat, you're slightly to the left of center, and if you're a Republican, you're slightly to the right of center, because that's where your biggest distribution of votes were. Then your personality or whatever pulled maybe a few from the other side, or if you're a Democrat and nobody liked you, they didn't show up at the polls like this time. And that sort of, that's where the game is. The Trump phenomenon, to me, maybe not just him, but the Obama phenomenon, has sort of disturbed us a little bit, where, to me, I don't think anybody knows where the spot is you want to be. I mean, Trump clearly, I mean, and this is not bashing. Matter of fact, this is me being somewhat admirable about the guy. He's decided that, and it appears to be working, and Bernie is taking the exact same road, by the way.
Yeah.
Is that, no, I want my 30%, my 25% that I can count on to get there. That leaves 70. Some of the Democrats or some of the Republicans aren't going to like the guy who's running, or lady, so I'm going to get 20% out of the remaining 70, and that's enough. Instead of being in the middle and actually getting that middle chunk. Now it's appealing to my horde, for lack of a better term, and I'll take my chances on the other 70 to 75% of the people. Even if I get a third of them, I'm okay. And to me, that's
so
different.
Driving us to be more and more partisan.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Yep. I mean, hey, if it works, it worked for Trump last time.
No, I'm saying
some international help in theory.
By the way, I'm hoping that what I said is absolutely untrue. By the way, but it looks to me like the old model, where if on a scale of 1 to 100, the Democrat wanted to run at a 48, and the Republican at a 52, because that's where all the votes were. I don't think these people think that's the model now, and you can hear them on the stage. I mean, even the minority people, Harris, she's convinced that if she can get, I'm putting words in her mouth, that if she can get the minorities to show up like Obama did, okay, and she can start out with women, gays, minorities as part of her base. Say, out of all those people, she's going to come in the door with 30% of the people. Because, I mean, the gay community votes. You know, they're like the old people, for God's sake. I mean, so... This is not bashing anybody. It's the truth. So if she comes in with that, she figures she'll take her chances. She'll take her 30% over Trump's 30%, and somehow they'll fight over the remaining 40, and she's got a good chance of winning. And I'm sure that's what she thinks. It's solidifying your base, not getting the middle. Is totally the difference now. And I don't know if I agree with you that if I'm right, that makes things more polar. Okay. I don't know, but do you think it's successful, or do you think it just worked once, where Hillary was so unpopular that half the Democrats, well, used to be Democrats, actually voted for Trump because they hated her? I hope it just worked once, but I don't know. Do you?
I don't. You know, I mean, I don't know the numbers. I'm sure they all know the numbers better than we do. But I also, you know, you look at it, and there were outside influences too that affected that. I mean, Carter came out over the weekend again. And basically said, I don't think Trump, you know, if we look back at it 100% honestly, I don't think Trump actually won. I think, you know, the Russians influenced it. And if we looked at it, you know, with the true numbers or the numbers that would have been without that influence, I don't think he could have carried it. So, I mean, you know, the question really is did it work once, actually, or, you know, were we really that manipulated? And I don't know that we know the answer to that.
Nope.
I'm hoping, like you, that this is not the way of the future, but I don't know the numbers, and I'd love to call, you know, Kamala Harris or any of these other people's staff and find out what numbers they think they need and where they think they can get them.
All right, which brings me to a whole other, by the way, the futures are still the same spot, up 33, so it's not like we're not talking about it. When they move, we'll let you know. Steph, let me ask two questions. One is, how does anybody know if the Russians were worth one vote or 1 million? I think they tried their best. I don't think they didn't affect me. I mean, I don't see who the hell they...
You're not the demographic they were looking for.
Okay, but the next question is, how does anybody in this day and age of cell phones and how does anybody, quote, even take a survey? How are these numbers any good?
I think that's part of the problem. So part of the problem with our polls is that how many of us don't answer our home phone, or, you know, you see an unknown number come up and you just don't get it, right? There's only a certain percentage of people that do that, and I think it happens to be probably the older population. Like, I think it rules out a huge sector of the population, so I don't think you're getting your polling accurate.
Well, I did. I mean, I don't sound like I spend, you know, hours and hours doing the show, although it's pretty close to what I do for a living, so, which is manage money, so I guess I can multitask there a little stuff, but, one of the most fascinating things I read that applied very much to the Trump situation is I read, of course, I don't know if it's the British mentality, but here we don't ever, like, reflect in the rearview mirror, but the British do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they put out a couple of, I think Cass sent them to me, essentially not mea culpas, but, well, I guess they were. They called was about why the polling was so wrong and the Brexit vote. And it was fascinating. They were talking about, and there must be something, Steph, that maybe people in Britain don't move as much or something. Because they said whenever you see this, it's a poll of likely voters, correct? Isn't that how they always lead into it? When they say this is, we canvassed, you know, 10,000 likely voters, and it's you know, it's Stephanie 48% and Matt Weber, you know, 47 with five undecided or something. That's what they come out with, right? Usually is what they tell you. Well, they totally missed the likely voters in Britain. That there were people that came out and voted that hadn't voted in 15, 20, 25 years. They must still have the same address and still were, you know, signed up to go at the local polling place. So they totally misread who the likely voters were. And here, I think that they did the same thing. I don't think they realized that Hillary's lack of any kind of personality and whatever would cause a lot of Democrats to stay home. I mean, it wasn't at all that Trump really won. It was, what was it, 15 million Democrats that voted the time before didn't show up?
Yep.
I mean, yes, he won. I mean, there's I don't know how anybody could come out and say the Russians influence in one way or the other. If those 15 million people show up, the Russians are a pee in Lake Michigan.
Yeah, but the Russians were part of the reason why they didn't show up. So, you know, my brother-in-law has a company that, looks into this and has been working with the State Department and a bunch of other things, at least presenting to them their findings on how the Russians actually did the manipulation, right? Manipulation was done through Twitter and Facebook and all of those different things. They would find a key issue, some item like, let's say, and I'm using this as an example, but it's a made-up example, let's say bootlegging in Kentucky, right? And bootlegging in Kentucky, they would find would be a really high issue that they didn't want, they wanted to stop being able to sell alcohol on Sundays because of bootleggers, right? And that would just be one of the topics. They would also find a correlation that those people who were really affected by this particular issue and shutting it down were also people who, you know, could be swayed to not like Hillary. So then what they do is they influence and they'd say, hey, you do realize that when Hillary gets into office, she's going to support all these local people that are going to take away your ability to buy alcohol on Sundays and, you know, from bootleggers, whatever, right? And that is how they influenced it. So then people wouldn't show up because they were attached to an issue that would or what, that was not necessarily true about candidates in their area.
Well, I'm gonna scoot out on the limb here, Steph, or the plank, whichever one, whatever one you want to call it. Let's say the plank. If they were able to do that, they had tremendous amount of help here because they would never think of that themselves. No friggin' way do the Russians think of something like that unless they got somebody here telling them what to put in there.
Well, the answer is who knows what's been told, but the Russians have a whole group that work on this. They're still doing it today. They still prove they're doing it today. And, my brother-in-law's company not only looks into this, but he also can find, he also has started looking into how to influence client buying power through the same methodology. And, it's interesting.
Why?
You can really sway demographics of people who feel about your company one way or another based on facts that would not seem to matter.
Well, without, we only got a minute or minute and a half or so, but I guess my question has to be, why do they think that Trump is so much better than them than anybody else? I mean, what does he own? We'll have to talk about this next week, stuff, but what does he own? I mean, if you and I ran against each other, which that'd be interesting. We'd be fighting up there, smack on the stage. But that'd be interesting, you against me. Boy, talk about two people, two type A's, huh? Wow. Anyway, yeah. we'd be fighting. Why would the Chinese get involved? Why would they think you were better for them than me?
Oh, come on.
I know.
Yeah, it's very clear. They knew Hillary. They knew Hillary was totally against them, and Trump was just a wild card.
All right,
it's picking the guy that's not against me.
All right, well, how about we tee this up next week? I'll be looking forward to it. Steph, thank you very much. Have a good one. Say hello to the little one, young Claire. I don't know if she puts up with me. Let's put it that way. I don't know if she likes me or not, but we'll see. Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability, is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, Nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. Also have Miss Audrey Johnson. SP Futures now up 34. They've been up 33, so they've inched up a little bit. Been pretty steady here. Been a huge rally. Relief rally, I think, based on, even though we had a big month of June, so it's not like we were down leading into this weekend. We were up leading into the weekend. The truce with China, at least everybody thinks there's nothing more bad's going to happen for a while regarding tariffs. Not really a solution to anything, just a truce. All right, how are you?
I'm fine. Good morning. A truce is good.
Truce is good. Steph congratulating me for being man enough to have two female Monday.
Well, you know, got to step forward eventually.
What do you mean eventually? I'm way out there on the limb, you know.
Oh, yes, yes, you are.
Well, Thank you for that. So how are things in your world? How are things in the real estate world? I think not so bad.
Everybody's having a pretty good year in real estate, and I'll say the interest rates couldn't be better lately. We've got rates have come down, and people with decent credit, you're looking at getting a 4% mortgage now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How low can you go if you want, like 10 or 15 years, if you don't want to get the full 30?
I can't tell you exactly, but you're looking in the trees if you're looking to get something like that. Find that out for you, but it's a good time to get a mortgage. It's a good time to refinance.
Just on that subject a little bit, I mean, obviously everybody always thinks that that I'll use the term, when you buy a home, it's forever, right? But in fact, what is the normal time people have a home? Isn't it
It used to be 5 to 7 years was your average move time.
Okay, so it's...
I think it's changed a little bit since the recession. People aren't moving around as much as they used to be, I don't think. But it's you're definitely seeing more of that now. People are felt more confident in the economy, and that has pushed people probably for the first time in a long time since I've seen it in that little higher market tier rate. You see things moving around a little faster in the maybe 4 to 6.50 range than they had been moving. So that would be in my area, out in the southwestern suburbs. So I would say in the lower range, things are still flying off the shelf. Anything up to about 3.50 is moving extremely quickly the same day or within a couple of days if it's diced and priced correctly. But that next tier is starting to shake loose a little bit.
If you get a 10 or 15 year, is there a balloon or is it amortized over 15?
No, it's amortized over 15. That's the whole point, is you want to pay it off faster.
But I mean, how far low do you got to go where it's a balloon? Obviously, you get a 5 year, it's not amortized over 5.
Well, a lot of people don't know that you could ask for a mortgage for however many years you want. Your most common one is 30, then you see 15. But if you go to your mortgage broker and say, hey, I want a 10-year mortgage, a 27-year mortgage, most times they can accommodate you, and you can kind of figure out how you want when you would want to pay your house off.
Well, when I was doing some...
You're talking about something different. Specific, like say, I want a 5-year mortgage with a balloon rate at the end. Sometimes that's done with owner financing, a business deal, where they will amortize over, again, 30 years, 15 years, but your balloon payment would be due in full at the end of that 5 years then.
Well, if you bought a place for $1 million and had a 5-year mortgage amortized over 5 years, you'd be paying what? You'd be paying 200 and some thousand a year. That's a lot.
Well, that's what I mean. You're going to amortize it for maybe 30 years, and then you have to come up with financing or the cash in 5 years.
Well, I used to have a real estate license back when I was, like, real young. I always told people just get a 30-year mortgage, and if you want to pay it off early, add another $100 to your payment every month, and then all of a sudden it becomes a 27-year mortgage.
Now if you make one extra payment a year in total, however you do that in a lump sum or monthly, you'll cut about 8 years off your mortgage.
Yeah, I mean instead of, like I said, if it's going to be $1,000 a month, you send them $1,100.
Yeah, and you won't miss it, and it really does make a difference. So. And some people just then, they're all worried about setting up for a while. The big thing was it was a bi-monthly mortgage payment. Well, you can send a mortgage payment to your bank anytime they want. They're never going to tell you no when they're giving them money. So make an extra payment, send more money, send two payments.
Yep.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want, but it does cut that down, and you'll owe your house faster and save a lot of interest.
You and I have been talking without using any names or areas. We obviously, since you've been doing some work in some of the areas in Chicago that, shall we say, aren't so hot. And you also, and I've noticed as well, some areas that maybe used to be not so hot are becoming kind of a little bit of hotbeds of remodeling, and some of those areas are becoming fairly hot. You actually have come across some people who are looking to dip a toe into a taking areas that are maybe not so hot and saying 5 years from now they're going to be hot. And they're talking about building places and accumulating lots. And having a program that, boy, it sure seems to me is pretty darn nice. Are we starting to see a little bit of entrepreneurship in some of these areas, despite the violence and the crime?
Well, I think you're seeing it everywhere. It has nothing to do with me. I mean, areas that are, that's been going on for the last several years, and it's just intensifying. And for several reasons, there's only so many places, you know, there's only so much land. There's a Mark Twain, you can't, they're not making any more land. So if you want to be in a certain geographical area, you know, you're going to start looking for the next best place and the next best bargain. And that's what's happening in a lot of parts of the city. I mean, the entire, you know, west side, going west and north is all, you know, increasing in value. There's the south side is starting to get some things happen. I mean, your progression, you know, out of South Loop into, you know, Bronzeville and Hyde Park and South Shore. I mean, that's all just accelerating. But where there's a lot of activity going on is all through the area around 79th and Western and heading east to the Ryan. A lot of people had picked houses up very cheap, 20, 30, 40, and the rehabs are going, you know, 200 to 300 over there. They're absolutely stunning. There's a lot of good work going on there.
You know what I'm sort of surprised at, though?
Anytime you can make city Chicago look better and make housing better for people, that's a win for everybody.
You know, I'm sort of surprised out in those areas in the south side. Obviously, I'm very familiar with them. I lived down there. I grew up down there. On the north side, and even the suburbs, which you've been more involved in, it's a lot of it has to do with people working downtown, and it's train stop to train stop.
Well, I think that's anywhere. I mean, I've never thought you could ever lose money following a train stop, especially in the suburbs. So, you know, you always get people who want to, you know, walk to a train, you know, long before it was currently cool to do that. Everybody always wanted to be able to leave your car in the garage and walk to a train, or even if you were starting, got that first apartment or condo close to the train, saved you time, saved you money, and was an easy commute with less stress back and forth.
Well, but I guess what I'm saying is a couple of spots on the south side where I've seen this happen, it really isn't a train stop there. I mean, it's almost like, you know, a transportation desert. If you look at that area, I'm going to say 83rd Street east of Western, between Western and Nashville, there's nothing there. I mean, there's been
you're either taking, there's a lot of buses there. People take the bus to the Ryan Metro.
But I'm saying, I guess
I forgot what line that is.
That's the Red Line.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is it this sort of thing before.
We've got the Orange Line that goes down west. So you're actually, it's an easy one bus ride to either the Orange Line or the Red Line.
Right. But I mean, it's not the same as like the Armitage stop. I mean, let's just say in the last 30 years, I mean, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying the impetus to this before, when the city had bad areas before, and I say bad, not, you know, less economically good as they are now, the Armitage area was a combination of the Armitage, Fullerton, L stops, and DePaul University. Right? So you had both of those things. You had an engine of growth and you had transportation. And it grew very slowly block to block based on that. And even on the, you know, but on the south side, it seems like it's kind of not the same. Now we'll see if that happens at 63rd and Halsted, where there is obviously a stop, and there's also, a college there, correct? And yet that area doesn't seem to have, maybe that's next, but.
Well, I think it's also very, very different. The north side just evolved differently. That was an affluent area that went from the loop, from, you know, the north side and then Lincoln Park, and that gentrification was totally different. And again, it's so extremely dense there. People had to have transportation,
right.
Had to have public transportation. I mean, there was, you know, and it's very different on the south side. One thing about the south and southwest sides you could buy, I think, way better than the rest of Chicago is you've got big city lots and garages and,
parks.
And people are jammed in like it is on the north side.
Oh, it's definitely nicer, parks, yeah.
Over there.
Well, what do they used to say? The uppies were like roaches. They could force anybody out. They were relentless. You know, how much you want for your place? 60, here's 65. Don't ever be seen in this neighborhood again. You're gone. Pretty much is what happened, right?
Well, I just sort of took a long time to the far edges of Lincoln Park to really take off and go. But, I mean, especially if you get, you know, west of the Kennedy in that little pocket and heading all the between the Blue Line and then going farther west, there's no easy way to, there's no good transportation, not good transportation, but there is not easy transportation like it is in that Lincoln Park area. See, a lot of people, you can't walk to the train when you get there.
Oh, okay, that's why the next one was the Bucktown area around the Damon stop for the Blue Line.
And but they're still going to evolve, and I think that it's, I don't think a lot of, not everybody has to be on a train line. Not everybody cares. I mean, you couldn't get me on a train to save my life. I like my car. So, you know, there's always going to be people who are going to drive to work just because they like their own company in the morning. Or, you know, it's just easy, or not everybody sits in an office cubicle all day. You're moving around doing sales or making calls or, you know, whatever. So I don't think it matters. As long as you're getting, you're going to provide good housing at a reasonable price. Somebody's
well, let's be clear. You're not going to go show a house to somebody and say, let's hop on the train and go down to the Fulton and pull off there and we'll walk over to it. You're going to have to pick them up in your car.
Exactly. You know, you got to have a car a lot of times. Well, so it's nice. I think it's nice for people who sit in a cubicle all day long where they don't have to drive, but, you know, a lot of people have to be out and about all day.
Well, remember when, because this, for those that are not familiar with how this evolved, I mean, there's massive money in this over periods of really a decade or two to change a whole neighborhood from, you know, with every house having to have, you know, 50, 100 grand put in it. Because we're talking about areas where there has been no really maintenance in a lot of, if it's a bad neighborhood, or places that are literally falling down. You don't even know if people did a job on a place, whether they had a permit for it before, when you get inspected afterward, whether they're going to tell you to tear the garage down because there was never a permit there. I mean, this is not for the faint of heart, right?
No, it's very difficult. In Chicago, the rules and regs, of course, are, you know, very difficult, and the hoops you got to jump through.
And you got to, you know, let's face
I think
it.
What you have to look at, as much as the housing expense that the people have to go through, and something that concerns me is the infrastructure in Chicago. I mean, I'm very interested to see down the road what happens with all these 100, 150-year-old pipes in the ground and lead in the water. And I think it's going to be a big, bigger and bigger issue as more people question, you know, what's in these old pipes up in the affluent areas where you're paying $3 to $4 billion to live there, and the pipes are corroded and full of God knows what underground.
I think, truth be told, Odd, is that the political structure in the city, the political when I say the political structure, I include the gas company, electric company, all the people that essentially are part of the political structure. I think they've been stealing from people for 100 years, and I don't think anybody has a clue how bad things are and what investment we're going to need. The problem is the money's already gone because they've already taken it and stolen it. And
I think that if they actually everybody start testing for lead in these pipes and checking them, the panic it would set up in Chicago could possibly really affect real estate values. I think there's a lot, I would think. I mean, how could they not? How could there not be?
Well, I mean,
how could there not be an issue with these pipes? I'd love to be wrong, but just from you see what they've dug up in the areas and replaced part of it, if they had to do that to the whole city, what would that cost?
As you know, I have my sources, and one of the guys is telling me he's a guy who works, well, he doesn't work for Commonwealth Edison, but he do work for Commonwealth Edison. Some transformer evidently goes out on the south side, you know, in the depths of the bad neighborhood, right? So he goes down there, and he's the only guy, and he's sort of surrounded. Now, if you look at what the Commonwealth Edison will tell you, and look at the last three or four increases, we continue to get increases. You're not even paying for electricity anymore. You're paying for them to show up. So even if, I mean, to hook up to your house. So if you turn your electricity off for a year, you're going to get a bill of $40, $50 a month, or $35 or something. So they managed to spin that around to where, that's why they don't care if you use electricity. Anyway, but I mean, it's all for infrastructure, right? Well, he was telling me that he goes down there and there's the transformer, he fixes something, and they're all supposed to be like within 20 or 40 years or whatever the number is. He goes, the thing says on it like 1924, the date on the thing. So he asked one of the onlookers to like go get him a stick. He goes, even though I got my gloves and my shoes and everything, there's no way I'm touching this thing when I turn it on. So I stand back and I flip it with the switch, and all of a sudden the thing goes on and it actually works. And of course, nobody's got their air conditioning on. It's 100 degrees. And he goes, I get this big cheer from everybody there. I get my stuff in the truck and I'm out of there. He goes, the thought that all this stuff has been renovated based on these guys getting higher and higher bills out of people. It's such BS. And yet I got to believe that the streets in San is supposed to have done, 100 miles of pipe, and they've probably done 10. This governor, who I can't stand, even though the guy's been here 6 months, gleefully putting this tax thing together. Does anybody in this state think that all this money and taxes and is going to go efficiently toward fixing your street? How naive are we? How dumb are we? I mean, to think that the original 12 cents was actually going, what are we going to end up paying for this burn interchange? 10 times what some other city would spend?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, or 8 times or 7. What are we doing? I mean, the idea that you want to give these people more money to spend?
There's no sense of conscience. And, you know what? People deserve what they got. They didn't vote. Nobody showed up. So, you know what? If you don't vote, you can't complain.
Yeah, but the whole idea about that, though, Art, is that I don't disagree. I'm not going to have a argument voting voting or not voting, because I always vote. But you know what? You can vote against Tweedledee and Tweedledum. How do those people look at our last presidential election? 330 million people in this country. We walked down the block and we got those two names there. And what are we doing?
Don't want to run a government. They want to run a private corporation.
Well, maybe not even that now. Private. You're right. Private. They don't want to run a public one, or some don't. But yeah, where are we going with this? I mean, look at the Democratic stage. There's 20 people up there. And I'm going to say, out of those 20 people, there's probably 4 or 5 that if you would sit them down either on the air or someplace and discuss a litany of projects and problems, you're going to find 4 or 5 of those people have some really solid solutions. And I will bet you $1, Miss Mortimer, is that not one of those 5 makes it to the final person.
No, probably not. It's kind of like watching another bad reality show.
Yeah, I mean, the person who yells the loudest, who does something, who does this.
It was ridiculous. Don't get me started with that. But it's just, I think infrastructure is a big concern, and it's not been addressed in the city. And what people don't realize also is, just going back to puns, is everybody needs water. And how many suburbs around Chicago area are tied to Lake Michigan water that comes out of Chicago? I think that it's something that everybody's kind of sweeping under the rug. Nobody wants to talk about, but it's going to be more and more of an issue as more of this stuff degrades, deteriorates, and you're fixing stuff.
Well, as the when I worked for Nancy Sheehan for governor, this was, I think, before Odd, this is like 30 years ago, it must have been Odd this time. At this point, we put together a pamphlet that, with all the, there was a bunch of chapters, and I wrote the finance chapter on what she was going to do as a state treasurer. It may seem like, I'm this genius writing this thing, but in fact, the only thing they could invest in was federal securities. So there wasn't a whole lot of, things you could do. But I was talking about how you would step, how much 2 years, how much 1 year, depending on the budget, and how you were going to figure out what banks to put your cash in and what you're going to get in return, those kinds of things. So there was a little bit to it, but not, it wasn't like a portfolio I do for somebody now, because if I could do anything, I could just, whatever thing the person wants, stocks and bonds and so forth. You can't do that. Anyway, the story was, we put together this pamphlet. Now, what if I was, you're going to be this really dastardly dude and say, I'm going to have a debate, and by the way, I'm going to give you 10 questions before the debate, and I want every one of them answered before you can be in the debate for everybody to read. That would go over like a fart in church, I think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now, why can't we get something like that out of these people that want to run essentially the free world? Why can't I have Harris and the rest of these people and Bernie and the rest of them, and even the lady who's the author, what she's up there, I have no idea. I want to know, what are you going to do about Social Security? I'm not talking about 5 words or less. Every one of these things better be like 100 words, like we're in in high school a lot, where you know you write 10 words down, you count them. Well, that's 10. I need 90 more, kind of a thing. You know, I mean, why can't we get something like that out of these people? Maybe some of the stuff's on their webpage. If it is, I apologize, but I want the answers to these 10 questions before we get up here, because we know there's 10 people on the stage, and I've only got an hour and a half. So I want the.
Well, everybody's used to talking in sound bites. That's what it is.
Well, but I mean, we're talking about pretty serious
because
issues.
That's all the attention span is lately.
Well, but Bernie, if you're going to say we're going to tax Wall Street, and by the way, we're going to pay for all the student loans. Well, if you're talking about a 1.5% tax on every single stock transaction, first of all, you're not taxing Wall Street. You're taxing me if I just buy 100 shares of IBM, and you if you sell it to me. That's not Wall. Since when do you and I become Wall Street?
Well, I think what the problem is that all these people want to demonize the wealthy, the rich, and what they don't realize, what I think is really funny is, A, if there were people who were successful and made corporations and developed them and had the guts and gumptions to become wealthy and rich through sweat and blood and tears and employ everybody else, but also, aren't you going to college to be a successful person, which also implies you can make money?
Right.
So the whole process of demonizing people who are successful just gives you, you know, the right to be lazy and point a finger. You know, to me, if you want something, go out and work for it and stop demonizing wealthy people, because if you want to go to college, you had a degree, it's assuming you want to be part of the process.
Well, Art, I know you're only 25, but you're showing your age a little bit in that comment. The reason why I say that, is, in your and my day, the people who started these companies and were somewhat entrepreneurial and did something and had ideas and had visions and those kinds of things, I think they deserve like to make a real lot of dough. That's why you do something like that. I mean, you and I are. Well, I think what people are seeing now, and the younger people that are seeing, even AOC and that group. They're looking, and what they're seeing is what our friend Eric May says. These people aren't entrepreneurs. They're just the managerial class. I mean, I don't look at the top 50 people that work at Commonwealth Edison and People's Gas as inventors or any that provide anybody anything. They just landed in those jobs and decided they're worth $2 million a year. They're not Bill Gates. They're not Einstein. You know what I'm saying? They're not Thomas Edison. So this whole idea that you've got these... 3 and 4 industry or companies in every industry now that essentially government has set up as these oligopolies or these duopolies or whatever, and these people make all this dough. They're not the people you're talking about. Do you think the guy who runs Merck now is put together a spectacular drug, or he just got people out there that he pays to find a company that has drugs, and because he has a patent, he goes out and buys that company? That to me. That's different. They're not Edison, in my mind. I don't know if you disagree with me or not, but just because, how many people have you run into at banks are making a fortune that couldn't put two words together?
Well, yes, and I agree with what you're saying, but the point is, the thing is, as time goes on, the odds of that changing in the reality, you know, the whole thing of distribution equally to the masses is socialism, and I'm not a socialist person. And I don't think people need to be paid $1 million for nothing, but the point is, as time goes on, somebody's going to fill those positions, and people aspire to fill these positions
and
make money.
Plus the idea...
And then all of a sudden, if you become that person, the world looks a whole bunch different than when you're at the bottom of the food chain.
Well, plus the idea that a family... that makes $250,000 a year and buys a nice house and is paying, you know, $25,000-$30,000 in taxes and $70,000 for the kid. The idea that they're rich is, they're not rich in any sort of a definition that I have.
No.
I'll use the term well-to-do or something or comfortable, but they're sure as hell not rich.
I think that makes you maybe a middle-class person in today's world.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people, I look at people that are, just struggling to get by, and so it's like the average, I would say, Chicago scenario is maybe the policeman and nurse, husband and wife are working.
All right, you got to continue this later. You got 5 seconds. Thank you very much. Home Source Realty, what's the phone number?
708-846-6494. Audrey Johnson at realtor.com.
Audrey, thank you very much. I got you riled this morning. That's good. You were good. When you're fired up, you and Steph, you guys are on me this morning. It's okay. S&P futures up 35. NASDAQ futures up 144. Come back with Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Jack Silverman on the board. We have David Adelman joining us in a second. S&P futures up 35, a little higher than they've been. Started last night up about 27, 28. We've crept up some. NASDAQ futures up 142. Dow futures up 266 as the meeting between President Xi and President Trump was somewhat of a truce. They're going to have some people talking. No time frame on it. President said it's a long-term process. Matter of fact, a couple of the articles last night said the Chinese said don't expect anything anytime soon. But still, it's they've called off, at least for a while, future tariffs, but leaving all the current ones, which I think to a certain extent are bad enough, causing the economy to go down. That's one man's opinion. All in place. So it's not like they backed any off either, which is a little bizarre, but that's kind of where we are. Anyway, around the rest of the world, everybody's bullish. Everybody's bullish. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 145, 1.1%. FTSE up 94, 1.2%. We've got a big rally in oil that's caused the XLE up 93 cents this morning. Individual stocks, CAC around up 41.7. Individual stocks moving along. We've got Apple almost up $5, 202. Because obviously Apple's in the middle of this China, U.S. thing. So at the very least, if Apple wants to escape some of the stuff from China, they'll probably give them some time to do it. So that's probably positive on Apple. Boeing, the only stock in the Dow now down 31 cents as they continue to have problems with the 737. Some people think they won't be up in the air this year. Every stock in the transportation average that's trading before the market is up except Federal Express down 13 cents. Over in Asia, we've got rallies for sure. And the Nikkei up 454, 2%. Shanghai up 66, that's 2% as well. Again, we've got oil up, wow, we're now over 60, 172, 60.19. Brent up 176, 66.50. So that spread is down to $6.31, which is the lowest I've seen it since we've been doing the show, I think, for God's sake. RBOB up 4 cents to 194, plus another 12 cents gas tax in Illinois. So your gas is up essentially 16 cents today. Have that for breakfast. Silver down, back to unchanged. Gold down 17, 1396. They're actually holding there pretty good considering this is a big move in the, whatever you want to call it, that the world is not going to continue to spiral down tariff-wise. Copper still can't get out of its own way, though, 271. So it doesn't look like the Chinese demand is any more there. We have first traffic weather sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. This sports weather traffic update is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine, the guide to money and probability. Is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue, and Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways due to a holiday week. A lot of folks on vacation, and it's showing. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson are all quiet as well, which is very rare. Southside expressways have been looking good all morning, too. Off the expressways, a couple of minor issues. We have a crash lower Wacker at Wells Street. And then on the west side, Kedzie at Ohio. There's a vehicle on fire, and that's causing some issue. Down on the south side, 91st Street at Colfax, there's a house fire reported at 91st and Essex, and that has crews on the scene there working to put that out. And then we have a crash up in the northwestern suburbs, Palatine Road at Schoenbeck Road. There's an accident reported. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of sunshine, hot, humid temperatures, a high of 87 and partly cloudy skies. Right now it is mostly sunny and 71 downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 101 today. Right now it's clear and 87. In sports, White Sox took 2 of 3 from the Twins, winning yesterday 4-3. Cubs dropped 2 of 3 in Cincinnati. They fell to the Reds 8-6. Diamondbacks lost to the Giants 10-4. NBA free agency, Bulls signed veteran forward Thaddeus Young to a 3-year $41 million deal. Blackhawks acquired Andrew Shaw, former Blackhawk, from Montreal, along with the 7th round pick for 2nd, 3rd, and 7th round picks.
Chief. What, David, how are you?
I'm fine.
After the news this weekend, I would have bet last night that we were up 25-30. I'm pretty close.
Yep.
I also think that we might be sniffing a top here pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you know, and I'm not a news pundit, and I'm, you know, I know enough fundamentals maybe to make me dangerous. I'm, you know, 75% technician, but the stories all over Friday were truce. No new tariffs. China will buy, you know, more goods. It was repeated at least a half a dozen times on CNBC beyond other sources, Thomson Reuters, and I'm sure MSNBC and Fox Business, etc. So how, I mean, if, and I'm not questioning the market's ability to, you know, discount news and fundamentals and whatever, but some of this or a good part of this should have been factored into the price Friday. Why, when we closed, you know, 29.45 roughly in S&P, why wasn't it 29.75?
Because I think you want to see with this, in general, and specifically with this particular guy, you want to see the whites of their eyes before you start buying.
You want quote-unquote verification, even if it's, you know, somewhat superficial?
I my concern is that the, from what the, you're starting to see letters coming to the White House from various companies and some of the stuff that I'm seeing and hearing, I don't know that the current situation is sustainable with the current tariff levels. So the idea that we might have a 5-year truce at these levels, I don't know that that's a positive. It's better than worse than the new tariffs this week, but in general, I think we're kind of far along the fight for this to be where we're. It's like saying we've got people in the trenches getting killed every day, but we've decided not to use gas. Okay, fine, but we still got. It's not exactly like the war is over,
right? And interesting, you know, if you look, new crop soybeans are up 2 cents, and natural gas is down, and that's where the big new sales were supposed to come from.
People don't believe any of this stuff, other than as long as there's not more worse, as long as we're not driving prices up even more, the Fed's back on our side. We're totally a matter of fact, I mean, if you contrast what the market's doing with some of the people 2 weeks ago that were on CNBC, and one of them you were talking about, that the market has become a total negative performer.
Right.
I mean, you would have thought at this stage of the tariff situation, with the companies getting hurt and the farmers getting eviscerated pretty much, that the status quo is a negative, not a positive. Now, I mean, even though, like I said earlier, I would have guessed based on the current the way the market's performing, us to be up pretty much exactly where we are. I mean,
no, I get it.
But still,
I get what you're saying, and that's why I rely on you.
Well, and I mean, you're right. I mean, we're not, and the thing that is, I won't say funny because it's not funny. I mean, it's surely not amusing. Like our intern says, "What do I amuse you?" No, it's not amusing, but it's funny in that the people that are getting hurt the worst are the most ardent Trump supporters.
Right.
I mean, these farmers, you don't lose to. I mean. This is what, I mean, I don't know, David, one of the themes of...
And when it's exacerbated by, you know, the weather, which, you know, the administration says, you know, it's not global warming, it's, you know, just anecdotal. I mean, you're pretty well eviscerated.
Yeah. Well, here's kind of where I'm coming from, and it's been a theme really of mine, you know, for as long as I've been in economics, and clearly since I've been doing radio or podcasts, whatever you want to call it, is that When people in politics start telling you how good you're doing, it's time to, you know, basically kiss your ass goodbye. I mean, right? I mean, it's what would like our old air raid stuff. Go out in the hall, lay down, put your head between your legs, and kiss your ass goodbye. It's basically was the air raid thing, right? Well, I mean, back in the 2008 situation, and all of a sudden people are losing their homes and so forth. Well, yeah, if the person who lost his home, the couple, whoever, are out, you know, 50 grand in equity, all of a sudden they're gone, they maybe declare bankruptcy, maybe don't, or maybe just walk away wounded to beat the band, and somebody else comes in and buys their house at 185 when they had bought it at 250, and now it's back to 225 or something. Yeah, the housing market, somebody's healthy, okay? Somebody's healthier than they were in 2008. The person who was in there, he's not coming back, right? So we don't care about him because the numbers show that we're back from 185 to 225 and that things are better for the banks and so forth. But the fact is, that person's gone. The bank probably already took a hit. Now, the government maybe came in and bought that mortgage from the bank at 100 cents on the buck and didn't help the guy out or lady or whatever. Now, that's okay, but we can say, yeah, everybody's fine now. But now, in this farm situation, I mean, you and I talked a few weeks ago about the people allegedly who got hurt the worst right out of the gate were the soybean farmers up north. The reason for that being is that they were pretty much set up basis-wise and distribution-wise that those were the soybeans that were going to China. Not that some in Illinois don't, they do, but it's a much more circuitous route to go all the way down to New Orleans, load them on something and go to China. Not that it doesn't happen. I mean, it does. But by and large, the easiest way is to get on the train in Minnesota or wherever up there, go right west to Seattle and on the Great Northern, Burlington Northern, and to load that container on a ship and go right to China from there. Because that farmer has very little or very expensive way to get from him to New Orleans. So for him to join the rest of the gang in Illinois and Iowa going down the Mississippi, oh, that's a problem this year because of the barge traffic being stopped. So even those guys are having issues. But let's say normally those are the first people to feel serious pain, right, David?
I agree.
So now if that guy or lady or family farm all of a sudden blows a crop or two and now is forced to sell the farm to Big Shot Inc., I won't say one of Trump's buddies, but all of a sudden, one of the seed companies comes in and buys up 400 farms or 500 farms in Minnesota, and now 2 years from now, soybeans are back where they are. Well, hey, you got to build that market back with China, but maybe it's decided, the Brazil stuff's just as good. Why worry about America at all? Now, assuming you can build it back up, you're not building it back up for the same people. Those people are wounded and gone, and maybe alcoholics or who knows what happened to them, right? But you're not. Those people never get whole, is what I'm saying in this. And I'm just a little more attuned to that, I think, than the average politician. What do you mean? It's 2022, and soybeans are back to $8 a bushel or $8-$9, and those farms look like they're doing pretty good. What's the problem? Well, the problem is,
and it works both ways.
Yeah,
because, I mean, it really does. Not just here. But, for those, and there's been definite evidence of, a fair chunk, moving their supply chain from, China to Thailand to Vietnam to, South Korea or whatever. If you've made that move over the last 6-9 months, and there's definite evidence, Under Armour and many others, Restoration Hardware to an extent, have actually moved their supply chain, out of China. They're not going to say, oh, well, now there's a deal. Let's, or 2 years down the road, there's a deal. We'll take the supply chain that we put elsewhere and bring it back to China. That isn't going to happen either.
No, both sides are, that's what I'm saying. Both sides are playing a dangerous game.
Right.
And actually, I think the Vietnam drain on China has been there for a while.
Right.
I would love to have somebody on one day, David. You should know these people. You got connections. I wish you have somebody on who says, okay, I've got a factory. I mean, I actually, when I say helped, I ran into some people at the Economic Club of Chicago dinners that I used to be a member of that were from the Chinese embassy. So sure enough, the next week or two, one of my clients or would-be clients called up and said, hey, chief, you know anybody? And I said, well, it just so happens, I don't know anybody. I mean, I don't know, I can't give you a name of anybody in China, but I talked to some people at the embassy and at the dinner, and they said, well, yeah, if everybody here really was serious about it, they gave me a card, and they said, have somebody call essentially the embassy here, and, we'll talk to them, and if they really are serious, if they want to go over there, somebody will figure out what province they should be in, and, basically who they're, their political henchmen would be to make sure that they get the right place. They don't have to worry any union problems. I mean, they didn't go into that detail, but I knew what they were talking, what they were saying, and I just gave the guy a number. I don't know what ever happened to him. I talked to him maybe one more time and never even asked because it was none of my business. But now to extend that even further, David, I don't know right now that say you had a guy and you said, hey, what do we do with this guy? He has either a factory here or was thinking of putting a factory there. Do we send them both to the Chinese, Vietnamese, Thai embassies here? And do they talk about it here? And then everybody goes over there and does a tour. If we're talking 1,000 employees or whatever, I bet there's competition for that going on right here in the city from the various embassies and those kinds of things. I mean, I'm guessing. I mean, it's just the economics.
You know what else I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on the show, and I don't know if you could answer, and I'm sure it's varies according to case, but I wonder what kind of control since the Vietnam War. I mean, obviously Vietnam would not have survived in their present state without the Chinese. I wonder what kind of control, if any, or to what extent China has control over Vietnam, where if all of a sudden apparel makers are moved by, whatever, raw stores or whatever, from China to Vietnam if China has the ability or the stranglehold to say, hey, you know what, keep it on a lower level, but the upper level stuff we get, you cannot do that.
I'll bet there are some ties like that.
Right.
And I'm going to say that if you, you know, I don't know this, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that China is Vietnam's biggest trade partner.
Right.
And that they the last thing they would do is totally screw that deal up.
Right.
Now, whether that means that they're, I don't know if it means they're, quote, in charge, like you're saying.
Well, I don't, no, I'm not saying it, I'm questioning it. I don't know one way or the other. I have no evidence either way. But I would think that because of the way that country, you know, survived and, you know, evolved into its existing state, that China would have, not control necessarily, but certainly big-time influence.
Well, our biggest trade partner is still Canada, or is it Mexico? I mean,
I think it's Mexico.
Well, I mean, if all of a sudden we heard that Mexico is gleefully buying Iranian oil at 60 cents on the buck, I think we'd have a problem.
Right.
Or at least this administration would have a problem.
I mean, sure.
I mean, as to how those controls work, but I wouldn't even ever even find out. I mean, and what, you know, what subtle stuff would they do? Just hold up payments for a month or two, or who knows what you could do? I mean, how?
Well, you know, Trump, between sanctions and tariffs, that's his big weapons. You know, it's always the power of sanctions.
No, I'm talking about Vietnam versus China. If China says, "Okay, we're going to be late on a bill for whatever," or you know, I don't know. I mean, how do they?
Well, there were threats last week against Vietnam
from Trump.
Of the trade imbalance.
From Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's.
Oh yeah, what control China has? That's why I throw the question out there. I have zero idea.
I can't even begin to put this into. I don't want to accuse anybody on a Monday morning, but I'll tell you what: if it's true, as what some people have alleged, now not his inner circle, that Trump really looks at this as a two-stage transaction, and if we have a negative trade balance with somebody, that somehow we're getting screwed. If that's all he's looking at and doesn't realize how this is a worldwide thing, and I might have a bad imbalance with this guy and an imbalance the other way, I hope he's not that shallow.
I don't know whether he is or not, but one way or the other, I think he feels it appeals. As soon as you say deficit, you know, his base will look at that and say, oh, here's somebody who's going to fight to put it back in balance. You know, you don't see any headlines, and I brought this up, you know, when Trump started shouting way before any tariffs have ever, you know, been imposed. If I want to go to Dollar Tree and buy bamboo fans, I don't care if they're from China or Japan, and I want to give a dollar for that fan to wave at myself while I'm sitting sweltering in 90-degree heat and 90% humidity, I've made a decision that bamboo fan, even if it's cheaply made, for that day or 2 days or 5 days till life to throw it away, is worth more than that dollar. That creates a trade imbalance because that bamboo fan probably costs 5 cents to make. So what?
Well,
I got goods in exchange for paper.
Well, here's the part that I don't want to go into this too heavy, David, but there's a trade deficit and then there's the current account.
Right, right. No, I get that.
So, I mean, this for the listeners, I'll make this brief as hell. Say, for instance, we have one trade partner, and they're Mexico. And in Mexico, we have a million-dollar trade deficit, meaning we import more $1 million more goods from Mexico than they import from here. Right, so we've got this trade deficit. But maybe if you have floating exchange rates, which means things equal out in the end, or should, the people in this country have bought up some stock in Mexican companies to where there's a million more goods and service coming this way.
Exactly.
But by the way, the people in Mexico are shipping $100 million in dividends this way.
Right.
So the actual cash flow back and forth at the current exchange rate is neutral. It's even, which it should be.
I agree with you.
Now, but that isn't brought out by anybody, ever.
No.
And in theory, even if you have a crummy trade relationship, the price of the peso, in this case, should move to where the actual number at the end of the year evens out.
Right.
So, I mean...
I get that, and that's been my argument, but that's not going to play when you're trying to run for a re-election.
Well, but, I mean...
It won't.
The thing that sort of aggravates me, David, I was talking about it earlier, why don't people on a debate stage, why don't they say, here's five or six questions that we know we're going to ask, and we'd like all 10 of yous to explain in detail what your answers to these five problems are. I mean, that would go over like a fart in church. Nobody want to do that.
I love your illusion.
But, in reality, we'd rather not govern by one-minute sound bites. And there's only so much that you can talk about trade deficits to a population knowing full well that they're ignorant, that the real number is the current account deficit.
Right.
I mean, at some point you have to explain, hey, this is in deficit, but this is in surplus, and by the way, they equal. I mean, which would you rather be? Would you rather be owners of Mexican companies, or would you rather be working in a factory? I mean, really, right?
Right. No, I get it.
I mean, to an extent, you don't want them taking all your businesses, and just because they're paying people less, you don't want that either. So there's somewhat of a balance here. And Trump is correct, absolutely correct, and I've said every time we brought this up, David, he's correct in somehow or another these relationships, and I think it's because of the governmental stuff over there, clearly because of the corruption and the political people keeping the laborers essentially with all the rice they can eat, and they're essentially getting the money. I mean, I'm going to guess, I don't want to accuse anybody in here, but I'm going to guess that there's been a lot of money from some of the big corporations here that produce in China for the last 30 years. There's a lot of money that's been diverted to, quote, political parties, political hacks, political something. Otherwise, there wouldn't be these millionaires that kind of work for the government and a quasi-end, the promoters coming to this country with millions of dollars in their pocket while the regular... But clearly the idea that at this time, 30 years later, 40 years later... The people in the factories would still be making 20 cents an hour is not what the economics professors foresaw.
Right.
And you would expected a raise in Mexico for the people in the Chevy plant to where they're now making, not 30 an hour, but maybe they're making 15 and actually could come to the point where they could buy a Chevy.
Right.
But that hasn't happened. Now, Trump is correct by noticing that. Now, what the solution is, I don't know. But the idea that you're just going to, lob tariffs on them, I don't know that that's necessarily a solution.
No.
But what is the solution? It's not like I can,
It's complex.
So how do we know, David, in a spot here we've sort of never been, how do you know when it's just too much? And we have a day like this where we're up 35.
You're not really extended on the technicals, amazingly enough, the big down into May and even a couple little giveaways. I mean, we were down, down last week, even just fractionally a third of a percent other than Russell. It's enough to keep the oscillators, neutral and, believe it or not, actually turning from negative to positive. So you can't take that. I mean, if you have a series of gaps and the market shows exhaustion or you get this extension, then, yeah, you can say it, but... Now, that doesn't mean we can't retrace and fill in some gaps.
David, you gotta hang on to that, bud. We gotta go. By the way, no show Thursday, so we'll talk to you until next Monday. We'll be right back. I'll be right back tomorrow morning. Stocks and Jacks.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, "Sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays"?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.